Previously on Splinters of a Broken Sun. After surviving the horrors of the station's surface, the Hub Gang had to escape the pursuit of several auditors, including a powerful new flying model, which caused significant damage to the 88 Express. They were able to cleverly disable the pursuer long enough to escape and return to the Hub, where a feast awaited. It seemed that they had finally reached a moment of relative peace. Nursing their various wounds, mostly mental and emotional, Emran, Keva, and Maeve managed to put on a brave front for the children and revelers now living in the Hub. Zonin, however, was nowhere to be found at the party. Now, it is time for our heroes to take a break. Welcome back to Splinters of a Broken Sun. Last time, I forgot to mention that I'm Matt, your friendly guide. This is an actual play podcast featuring the Fate Core system, and we are entering a downtime period for our player characters, played by... I was about to call you all by your character names, but then I remembered that I said player characters played by, and then I had to pause in my head. Our players are OG Brown Sugar.
The previous statement was correct. I am actually just a couple of poodles stacked in a French coat.
A trench coat.
A French coat?
Made in France, ironically enough, but... Oh. Hello, everyone. I'm OG Brown Sugar, and I play Maeve Sentis.
Pleasure to meet you again. It's just, I threw myself so off with that messed up intro, but I'm going to power through. We're also joined by Salastreus.
Hi, everyone. I'm Salastreus, also known as Mike Blood, and I play Emran Pak on the podcast. And yeah, I am actually not a bunch of dogs in a French coat.
Well, that's a first. And speaking of firsts, we're also joined by the Singing Chemist.
Hi, I'm Jason the Singing Chemist, and this is a first. I will not make joke now. I play Zonin Chan.
Great. And we are also joined by Keekers.
Hi, I'm Keekers, also known as Be a Space Cat. And I play Keva Jarma, and I'm not going to say anything else because I always say too much.
Could you elaborate on that?
What about no jokes, Mr. Chemist?
That was for the intro. I'm done. This is your time.
Well, we are going to get started now that we've had this really smooth intro that has had no issues whatsoever. We are doing downtime, like I said, so I'm going to check in with each of the characters to see what they are doing. We're going to make a roll to see how well they do on it, and then that's going to be that, unless I have a specific conversation for them to have with an NPC, or they want to have a conversation with a specific NPC, both of which are completely valid options for them. So, would anybody like to go first?
I will do it.
I've just finished teaching students, and I am not in the mood for any more of these long silences waiting for volunteers.
I will not make you pull teeth. I will go first.
I'm sorry. Matt?
Yep.
Can you go to the washroom?
Oh my God. 10 minutes. 10 minutes after the bell and 10 minutes before the bell. That's the rule. You know the rule.
When does he get to go? I've been holding my hand up for like 5 minutes.
It's not 10 minutes yet. He can't go. Okay, so...
Wait, what time is it?
No more of this.
How old are you?
Very. All right, so Emran, you said you wanted to go first?
Emran will go first.
What is Emran doing during his downtime?
So I think that we see Emran in his little workshop, which is just like probably a cleared out like sports equipment store that had a workbench in the back, and it was the first one that he found. So it's where he's been putting a bunch of like electrical stuff and building materials and wires, cabling, basically all the junk that he's been accumulating because he can't help himself from not picking something up or thinking that it's going to be useful later. So it's his tinker shop.
Right. It's his hoarding spot.
It's my hoarding spot, I won't lie. And I think right now Emran is, he's got his shield up on the wall. the sword is hanging off a chair.
Mm-hmm.
Emran is just like in a tank top, some cargo pants, the shirt is tucked in, got boots on, and he's just looking at the mechanical bits from the space squid.
Okay.
And his current mission is to not really like try and use the circuitry and new unfamiliar ceramic materials to make a weapon. What he actually wants to do is he wants to try and craft, like, if he's got some spare like SGM cabling around or some material that he can see through, he kind of wants to create a suit of armor that is extremely resistant or resilient and that he can kind of see out of, because he remembers that the squid was remarkably tough even though it was kind of cracked and bleeding.
Okay. So you want to try and make something out of these squids, like tentacles?
Or like the ceramic arms or the ceramic armor, if anything.
Okay.
Yeah, if I have to use the tentacles. Hopefully I can change them or change their shape a little bit.
Okay.
Can I name the suit of armor that is crafted?
Depends on whether or not I can wear it, but I will absolutely give you naming dibs.
Oh, that's something you'll regret later.
No.
DSS more powerful than Superman, Spider-Man, and the Incredible Hulk put together.
Well, there goes my idea.
The strongest Avenger.
I was just thinking Callum Armor.
We'll do a straw poll. Straw poll.
It's pretty good. All right, I've dropped you all on the clocks page.
Cool, yeah. Oh, I forgot I had the mining laser that I could eventually make into something.
Okay, so making space squid armor, you'll have to learn how to work the materials. Then you'll have to learn how to properly dismantle it and put it back together. And you'll have to learn how to integrate it with the SGM materials. So I'm going to first set this clock to zero, and let's do a crafts roll to see how well you do during this downtime.
That's unexpected.
That is unexpected. Okay, so I'm just going to put, at no point when you're working on a project will you make notes. So you will only get one tick on that clock.
Could I potentially re-roll, or is that only during, like, active play?
That's only during active play. I'm borrowing downtime stuff from other systems.
Sounds good to me.
The space squid armor, the first snag that you run into is that the tentacles, the way that they are articulated, make them very difficult to work into ingots or work into any other shape. So you are working on that, and that is what's causing the hang-up. You first need to figure out, how am I going to turn these tentacly things into anything armor-like? But you make a little bit of progress, but you realize that you've got a ways yet to go. And we're going to do two rounds of downtime actions for each person. And we are also going to do any conversations you want to have after we do the stuff. Okay? Keva, what are you working on for your first action?
Yeah, so I'm looking at my clocks, or my lovely ATP bars. Sorry, video game joke. And, Well, I think the first thing Kev is going to do, I don't know which bar this would fill up, but this is like...
You can make a new clock, too.
Yeah, this is to kind of help Hub with anything they need help with. Because I imagine Kev is throwing herself into work and she wants to help them with their brain or backup, so to speak.
Okay, so you want to help Hub prepare to reintegrate their backup.
Yeah, and also kind of warn them about what she encountered and what she gleaned from the others about what they encountered from memory.
Okay, so We can cover most of that during a conversation if you want to have a conversation with Hub.
Yeah.
But none of those is really a project that you're working on for your own downtime.
Okay, so then learning nanotech.
Okay.
I guess because she was really freaked about the incident with Emrin.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to kind of understand better what happened.
Okay. Let's roll investigate for that. Because you've got books, you just need to figure them out.
Okay. That is a fair skill.
Okay.
Oh, a four.
Yeah, that's going to be two sections of this clock. We will fill.
Yay.
All right. So you have learned a great deal about how nanotech works, or how it used to work, and that is helping you learn, in turn, the ways in which your hair is interacting with the nanotech in people's bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So you're learning that the external expression of internal nanotechnology was something that people used to do, but mainly for an aesthetic thing. Like people would have a necklace that would extrude from their bodies made up of their internal nanotech. It was like a fad for a while, but usually it wasn't something that people used to do what you do.
Okay.
In fact, you are not finding anything about people doing what you do in these books yet.
Okay, but at least there is a lead.
Yeah, and you're learning more about how nanotech actually works.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, Maeve, I'm going to advance this clock up here. And what project would you like to work on?
I'll definitely keep learning more about nanotech.
Okay. Are you and Keva reading the same books? Or are you reading the same books at different times? You're reading together?
Probably together.
Okay. What does that look like while you're rolling your investigate? What does it look like? We'll have a little scene. Maeve and Keva are in, I guess, a library together or in the clinic together reading books?
Most likely, yeah. I mean, it also depends on, what they're focusing on. Maeve is focusing on nanotech mainly in terms of altering biology.
Mm-hmm. And Keva, you're more focused on the nuts and bolts of...
Yeah. But
trying to find out how your hair works.
Yeah, but also kind of like how it affects biology, too, in a sense.
Right. You have a very specific thing that you're researching, as I recall.
Yeah, so it's kind of more like maybe we'd have to read one or two of the same books, but not all of the same books.
I think the two of you find that the sections of books that you're reading have a lot of crossover. All right, and you rolled your investigate at 5 segments there. For your reference, it's every 2 steps of success you get is a section of the clock. Mm. All right, so Maeve, you have gotten much closer. You and Keva have both, working together, it appears, reached a similar level of understanding what you're hoping to learn about nanotech. You're learning about how people did beyond just cosmetic changes, people were able to make deeper biological, even anatomical changes to their bodies using simple reprogramming. And it was something that for much of recent history, according to these books, so pre-emergency, people did pretty much all the time. People were experimenting with different types of bodies and different types of biology just all the time. And it was just something people did. It's considered a normal way of living your life. You can start to find some information about how that worked and ways that people, programs that they run, like scripts and things like that.
Keva gets really excited for Maeve.
Okay. Zonin, are you working on any of your...
Well, I'd love to finish that SGM mask.
You already did, I believe, because we said that Zonin had it last session. Or did I imagine that?
I do not recall, to be honest, but that's okay.
It doesn't... I don't remember that he had it.
Okay. Well, I have this clock full, so...
Then I'll take it. Then I would like to finish working on the old Daemon power source, or as much as I can.
Okay. So that will be, that will also be, okay. Are you using the battery from the bow and arrow, or are you trying to find something else?
No, I'll use the battery from the bow and arrow. I'll kind of salvage that for parts and try and make something work for the suit.
All right, roll your crafts as you tinker with the battery, the power source that's on this weapon. Okay, so...
How am I so bad at rolling today?
Well, I think Zonin's distracted by other matters as he is tinkering with the helmet and with the battery. And he finds that the battery is pretty thoroughly integrated into the bow. And you're finding that you have difficulty actually discovering a way to detach it. So that's still a challenge that lies ahead of you.
That's fair.
Emran, what's your second thing you want to work on?
I think that kind of hitting a wall with the space squid armor for now, Emran wants to see if he can make a bit of headway researching ancient weaponry to see to get a better understanding of how the auditor technology works. Or to see if there's any overlap.
Okay. And that's your investigate, which, as we know, is a very good skill for you.
So maybe, instead of that, can I change my mind? Or am I married to it?
You're not married to it, no.
I think I'll just keep hammering away at the squid.
Okay. Roll your crafts. All right. That's pretty good. You got two more segments of that clock filled up. So you solve the issue of how to properly dismantle the tentacles. What do you figure out that gives you this breakthrough?
I think that I was trying to like strong arm it just by like trying to rip it apart. Just, you know, venting a little bit of aggression on this like really tough material.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that like once I actually sit down and like look at it, and its interior through the cracked shell, I realized that there's actually a bunch of interlocking mechanisms that allow it to basically fall apart.
Okay.
If I keep prodding.
That makes sense. It's a modular design to an extent. Okay, Keva, what's your second journey here?
I'm going to go the space squid route as well.
Okay.
And try to kind of cross-reference it with any known knowledge about what the heck these things are. Kind of identify them.
All right. You want to attempt to identify them? So you'll be reading through some books, I assume, on what, xeno stuff? Xenobiology? Xenotechnology?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can roll investigate for that. Okay.
Two.
You got a two, so you fill up a segment there on the space squids. So you're not able to find anything that's directly analogous just yet, but you do find information on something that used to be called drones. And you also learn about something called a cyborg. And those are two types of things that taken together maybe have something to do with this. It's tough to say, but you're starting to make some progress.
Okay, so she would know that a cyborg is something that has...
a blend of biological and technological.
Okay.
Maeve?
I think I want to start researching weaknesses in the Arbiter armor.
Okay. Not sure what those are, but I'm sure you'll find lots of information about it somewhere. Did you mean auditors again?
Did I say no, specifically the Arbiter from Halo.
Okay.
Yes, auditors.
Now you go into the ancient GameStop.
Pick up a copy of Halo Wars.
Yep. Okay. So are you using the... I guess you...
I'd probably start by talking to Karis.
Yeah, okay. So let's do rapport to open up.
Jeez.
Do you want Keva to help? Wait, no. Ooh. We can't do that.
That's all right. You fill up a segment there.
Pretty good for having a zero in it.
Yeah. And because you are talking to Karis, who is willing to help you, I'm going to fill two segments there. So from Karis, you start learning about how the armor works, the way that the full suit interfaces with a human body. It's not pretty. It's actually pretty gross, the way that the full auditor suit works. It's not dissimilar from the spacesuits that you were in. from the understanding that you get from Karis, in that it connects two parts of your body. You know that the helmet, from your experience, attaches to the cervical vertebrae and thus to communicate directly with the brain. But the body parts of the armor, Karis shows you the scars, and they are extensive.
Are we talking like this is like the glove that with the blood and Kill la Kill?
I have not seen Kill la Kill, but it is sort of like, I don't want to say an Iron Maiden, but it is that kind of idea, in that there are a lot of things inside the armor that attach into muscles, bones, tendons and sinews, and other parts of the human body.
Okay.
Knowing all this, I still want one.
Did you say Iron Maiden?
Yes.
A little Bill and Ted reference for you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Execute them.
All right, and Zonin, do you have something else you'd like to work on there?
So my other thing doesn't count for this time?
Actually, do you have your excuse yet, or do you need more time for that?
Well, I mean, I don't need an excuse until somebody asks me a question that necessitates an excuse.
Okay, so we'll leave that for now, because you have something else you're doing that's going to take up some time.
True.
Okay, who wants to talk to an NPC?
I'll go first if no one minds.
Please.
All right, you wanted to talk to Hub, right? Okay, where are you when you call for Hub?
Kev is someplace private.
Your room?
Is that private enough?
It's your room.
I know, but still, it's not gonna, like...
You could go to Hub's core?
Yeah. Yeah, Keva would go there and be maybe like seeing if they can help Hub somehow with the backup.
Hub appears in avatar form when you're inside the core. I was looking around, looking at the repairs some of the people have made to the broken walls, and they smile and they say, Keva, I do appreciate your offer, but preparing to integrate my backup isn't a physical thing. It's something that I have to do inside of my systems.
Oh. Okay.
There's a chance that the backup has been corrupted, or that there will be something in the backup that will cause corruption in my system. So I have a lot of backing up to do.
That's what I wanted to tell you about.
Okay.
When we were out there, like you said, there might be crap, dust and other stuff on the surface. There was. And we had to cross like a mountain. And there was a thing there.
You mentioned, yes.
Called memory.
Yeah, you mentioned memory. I believe Emran described it as an amorphous blob of tentacles.
Yeah, I didn't like it. But it gave us memories. Okay. And then mine was kind of odd.
Yeah.
Is it true that people used to have babies the way goats have babies instead of in, you know, decanters?
Well, not exactly the way goats had babies, but many people chose to engage in what was called a live birth. It wasn't a necessity anymore, but many people in many cultures still felt that it was the correct and natural way to give birth. So yes, you would carry a human life to term inside your body and deliver it through childbirth.
Did it hurt?
By all accounts, yes.
That's what I saw.
Interesting. I wonder how it was able to implant memories in your brain. Do you still remember it, or do you just remember seeing it?
I don't know.
It's a memory that is a part of you now. You can remember it like...
Yeah, it's like... It was me.
Wow. That's... They were beginning to experiment with successful ways to implant memories when I remembered, but they hadn't succeeded yet.
But Emran and Maeve asked for emergency memories.
Oh.
They haven't said anything about, like, if there was anything they could remember about it. Just scattered things. And it really kind of put them out of commission. And I'm afraid that the same is going to happen to you.
Well, I appreciate your concern. But to me, that sounds like the issues that we had with attempting to implant memories, particularly between sapient species, was that different brains work in different ways. And trying to put a memory from one species or from an artificial intelligence into someone else's brain would often have traumatic side effects for the recipient. It's possible that this is what's happened to Emran and to Maeve. And if that's the case, it will probably take them some time to recover, and they should most likely seek some, you know, professional help.
Do we have, like, therapists in this world?
You do to an extent. Normally you are expected to speak to a notary.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they are trained in basic therapeutic techniques, because a person who is traumatized or dealing with something that therapy could help them with will not be as efficient as someone who is working through that or dealing with it in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm. So Keva would probably respond with, I don't know who they can talk to. I can ask Mandakai if someone... What?
Oh, sorry. Mandakai is... She's very nice.
What?
No, nothing. Nothing. She's very nice.
Did something happen?
Nope. Well, I mean, a lot happened, but she's very nice. Very friendly.
No, something happened.
I don't think that she's... I don't think that she's the type of person who's good with that sort of thing.
No, I mean, I was going to ask her if she knew someone that... If one of the other people here know how to do that.
Oh, well, she'd probably know that part. Keva, I know that you care a lot for the people around you and even for me. And I really do appreciate that. I really respect that. But I'm worried that you are maybe dismissing or not examining the effect that this might be having on you.
What effect on me?
You take a lot on yourself. Do you know what I mean?
At this, she's like running her fingers along the hem of her poncho, like, a lot.
I think you do know, if you step back for a minute and examine it, that you are not taking as good care of yourself as you could be. And I know it's because it comes from a good place. I know it's because you're worried about everybody else. But you can be the most help to others when you are yourself at your best. You have been through a lot, Keva.
Yeah, I don't know how you fix me, though.
I can't fix you, but all I'm asking is that you maybe put yourself first a little bit. Just for a while.
I don't... Is it bad I don't really know how to do that?
I don't think it's bad. It's not like you're bad for not knowing how to do that. It's just that it's not something you've had the opportunity to do. And I think you should try to look for that opportunity. All right, Keva, I need to get back to work partitioning these files.
Of course.
Okay, but, you know, take care, okay? I worry about you.
The feeling's mutual.
Well, I've got to admit, I'm a little worried about this, but it's a bridge we'll cross when we get to it.
Okay, and I'll try to figure out how to take care of myself.
Good. And Hub deactivates their avatar. Who else wants to talk to an NPC?
I will probably talk to Hub as well.
Okay. Where are you when you talk to Hub?
Probably the core as well.
Okay. So you go into the core as well. Are you on a spider?
Always.
Okay. You ride your spider into the core, and it's a bit cramped with the, you know, the size of a spider. And Hub appears. Oh, hello, Maeve.
I think I'll just check in first with the usual infrastructure thing we're doing in terms of cleaning up the hub, but then I'll just ask, did you look at the backup yet?
So yeah, you chat about the progress that you're making, and it's good. You're making a lot of progress in getting the hub, not to what it once was, but to what it can be now with all the, you know, damage that is going to take technology and resources you don't have to repair. Progress is good, though. And Hub looks at you and Hub says, I have validated it. It is my backup, or at least a very convincing copy of it.
Be careful when you do finally plug it in, because that was a bad trip.
I spoke to Keva the other day, and she mentioned that you had some bad memories implanted in your head.
Some sort of black devouring shroud.
Hmm. I wonder if that's, you know, as I was saying to her, it's one of the issues that we were having. We hadn't mastered memory transference in my time. So I'm not sure they've mastered it just yet, but one of the issues they had with transferring between different types of mind was trauma and memories becoming garbled. And I've been thinking about it, and I wonder if maybe that was, you know, the idea of that type of shroud is just so daunting. Maybe it's metaphorical or some way your mind was attempting to process it.
No idea, but it's not eating me.
I should hope not. Are your memories disappearing?
No, I mean in the event that it's a literal thing going around eating stuff.
Oh. Oh, sorry, I misunderstood. Speaking of eating you, though, and Hub sort of looks down at your saddle, Constance tells me that you still haven't checked in with her.
Remember when we had those scans about the new nanites having various effects on our biology?
Oh, yes.
I will just lift up the dress slightly and show Hub the cocooning.
Maeve, are you all right?
Yes.
Is this over your whole legs?
Yep.
Is in fact starting to make its way up your torso now. It's about halfway up there, making bending difficult too. Have you tried to cut it off?
I have not. I think I should see where it goes.
Maybe this seems dangerous. We don't know anything about this.
I'll see where it goes.
Obviously, I can't stop you, but have you told the others?
Not yet. I'll look more into it. I mean, once it becomes a necessity, then I will tell everyone.
Okay, Maeve. Can I help you with anything else?
I've asked before, and maybe you'll have different answers once the backup, if you do choose to access it, but I imagine the church down there might start becoming a problem. Turns out some of those suits can fly.
Oh, no.
Not well, mind you, but...
If they can fly at all in this gravity, they can probably make it up here.
If you do find anything in any of your data banks or memories about weapons or defenses around the hub, we should get started on those.
Okay. All right. I'll see what I can do. I really wasn't... Maeve, I'm a train station. I'm not designed for any of this. This is really scary.
Yeah, it is. I find that it helps that if there's something that scares you, for you to be scarier than it. And I will point down at the spider that I'm riding.
Oh, well, it's not really in my programming. I will see what's available.
Thank you. And you did mention that you are not bound by your programming, though I understand you're being leery of unchaining yourself, if that is even the correct term anymore.
Yeah, sometimes they would use the term unchained in the early days, but as time went on and laws changed, people would say things like expand or unlock to try and have a more positive sound to it. You know how it is when... Well, I don't know if you know how it is. There aren't really social movements down there. But it's not... We've already talked about it. If it becomes necessary, if I have to, then you will have to help me do it. I can't do it on my own. But it will change who I am, and that is... I'm not comfortable with that.
Change is good. No use stagnating. And I'll point to the cocoon.
Well, yeah. You and I have different attitudes on many things, Maeve. But I do respect you deeply, and please make sure that you let someone know about this. Maybe somebody can take care of you or monitor it or something.
That's a good point. I probably should let Constance know.
Sure, yeah. She is a doctor. She seems very competent. She's been doing a lot of research since she got here.
Or put all my books back where they were.
Not the same kind of research you've been doing, Maeve. Can I help you with anything else?
No, I think that's it for now.
Okay. Be careful, Maeve, and make good choices.
No promises?
I wouldn't expect any. Hub dissipates again. All right, anybody else want to chat with an NPC?
Zonin?
No, I'm good.
Okay. I think I'll have a conversation with somebody then.
Okay. Who are you going to see and where are you going to do it?
I think I'd like to speak to Mandakai in whatever room she's chosen.
All right. You go to see Mandakai in her hotel room, I guess?
I think so.
Okay. You knock on the door. She opens it up. She's wearing like a casual outfit. She's not in her full fancy robe. She's more in like a bathrobe kind of thing. And that's about it. She's just wearing a bathrobe. It's not quite big enough for her.
Yes, bathrobe.
Bless.
Emran. How can I help you? Come on in, she says.
Thank you. And Emran is like dressed casually. He's the only thing he's really got that might be considered business is that he has the sword on, but he carries that literally everywhere.
Yeah. She sits on the bed and gestures to the chair.
Emran sits down.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. A lot better than when I first got back, and I think everyone else is healing up, so to speak.
Yeah, I know. I'm feeling much better, but still tired all the time. Constance says that'll pass.
You did lose a lot of blood.
Well, yeah, but I have a lot of blood, too.
I will admit I've never seen anyone bleed that much.
I hear you did your own fair share of bleeding when we were escaping.
I did let go of a lot.
I don't know, I mean, I can't really thank you enough for rescuing those children and me, and really it was a bad situation, but you made the right calls and you got us out of it.
Emran nods without looking at her. He says, I appreciate that. Though my need to know kind of brought down the EO on the Oasis anyway.
Honestly, I don't know how much longer we could have stayed there anyway. We had already finished Project Katamari. As the patrols were getting more and more frequent, I didn't want to believe that I would have to leave behind what I'd built. But I couldn't have protected those people. I mean, you saw, I saw. I wasn't strong enough.
Not a question of your strength. The Church of Gov is overwhelming.
I know. I worked for them for many years.
Emran nods. I have a question, actually, if you'll allow it.
Of course, Emran.
Your powers. You got them from touching a sun splinter, right?
Yes, I did.
Well, you know that so did we, but I wonder, have your powers increased in strength or severity over the years?
Yes, absolutely they have. When I was younger, I didn't touch a splinter out in the world. I touched one at the Bureau. I wasn't supposed to, but I did. You know how it is. For the first few months, it wasn't much. I felt stronger, faster. But as time passed, I discovered more and more things that I could do until I don't know if I've even reached my limit now. It's amazing what Veliko unlocked in me when he chose me as his champion.
Have you met Veliko?
No. Well, Veliko, I have spoken with Veliko, but nobody believes me. Karis pretends, and many of the others, they do a good job of pretending too. Maybe some of them genuinely believe. I know I have a strong personality, but I know in their heart of hearts, most people don't really believe that I spoke to a part of a god. But I do.
I mean, not many people believe that a place like this would exist. But here we are, outside of the domain, living inside of a god.
That's an interesting way to think of it, Emran. But I think we all know that there's so much more to this world than what we were raised to know. And the question that still digs at me and from time to time is just, why? Why any of this? I've been trying not to think about it. I've been trying to ignore it and simply focus on living a good life and providing joy for those who don't have it. But I know Lean and others have been tireless in trying to discover these truths. And I think there's only so much longer that I can sit out that game, you know? I'm not the smartest, but I have my uses.
Emran chuckles a little bit.
You know what I mean, don't you?
I do.
She smiles.
For what it's worth, coming from me, I think your chosen role is extremely worthy and important.
Thank you. I think it's important, too. People need joy in their life.
Small doses every now and then. He smiles.
Well, in my view, as much as you can get, as often as you can get it. But that's what the revel is all about. Not everyone's comfortable with that.
To each their own, but hopefully we can make the hub a bastion.
I hope so. Of course, I can't stay here forever. Once we're healed, we have to get to Exile's End. My people need me.
I think we'll go with you. Not permanently, of course.
I think this place is too important to abandon. You're right.
Emran nods thoughtfully. He's quiet for a few moments. After the initial changes, did your body shift in any ways after acquiring your powers, as they grew more intense?
Emran. She, gives you a coy smile.
He laughs, yeah. She got him with that.
I got taller. And bigger. That was about it. Oh, and of course, you know the thing I do.
Yes. The battle state.
I call it the joy.
Certainly made me happy.
Yeah, it makes me happy too. There's such freedom in it.
Being able to fly is nothing to scoff at.
It's truly wonderful.
Emran, just smiles again.
Is there anything else I can do for you, Emran?
As a leader of an XCOM cell, what would you recommend for what do you think the hub should be?
I think hub is right now what they want to be, which is a place of welcome and a place of gathering. Hub is, from what I've learned, it's a potential. When you come here, you are welcomed. You are treated as if you're worth something. And while you're here, there's always the potential to go anywhere and do just about anything. And that potential is intoxicating. Something that we don't have down on the surface, I guess.
I wonder if we'll be able to find transit that will lead closer to Exile's End.
Oh, you might. I'm sure it's on that map.
True enough.
Where is that map, Emran?
Where is the map, Matt?
Where is the map, Zonin?
Yeah, I got that map.
Zonin's got that map.
Does Emran know Zonin has the map?
I don't know.
I mean, Zonin didn't really remember he had that map, so who knows?
I don't remember the map at all.
Zonin got it directly from Thed?
Yeah, Thed.
Yeah.
Does Kevin know that he has that map?
It's up to you folks. I don't know.
I don't think that Emran knows, actually.
Okay, but wait, does Kevin know that? Did Zonin tell anyone about the map?
You know, it never came up.
Well, he probably, like, she asked where they were going.
I think Zonin, you compared the map to Hub's map at one point.
Yeah.
Yes, that is a thing that happened.
So, Keva might know that he has a map.
Yeah. If you remember that detail, you might remember that Zonin has a map.
Yeah, but that's neither here nor there in this scene.
Emran just tells Mandakai, you know, I don't actually know. All I really knew that we had was a scan of the entire station.
Oh, I thought you all had that map. It's,
I'm sure one of us does. I don't.
Can you maybe check in on that for me, Emran?
Emran adds it to his quest log.
I don't want to go and, you know, it's not my place to order any of you around.
Inexplicably, when you add it to your quest log, a golden exclamation point appears above Zonin's head.
Like you walk by the room and the camera sees that, but I don't.
It's a holographic exclamation point.
You got to turn hints on.
Mm. All right. Is there anything else you want to talk to Mandakai about?
Emran, as he's he nods and says goodbye, but as he's about to leave, he turns around at the door jamb and he says, were there any signs that the powers were becoming greater? Or did it just sort of happen?
For me, it just happened. I had to learn each new application through painful experience.
Emran chuckles again. It's about what we've been doing then.
Well, welcome to the club.
Emran does like a polite bow. Thank you, Mandakai. I'll try and scare up that map for you.
He smiles again. You know, you don't have to leave.
What's that?
She gives you a wink.
Think Emran like looks around. Steps in, and I think the scene cuts with the door just sliding closed.
Fades to black. All right, anybody else have conversations or chats you want to have with each other, with NPCs?
I'm sorry, I'm still recovering from that.
I'll also probably talk to Mandakai at a later point.
Okay. Yeah, we can skip to that.
Ideally, I can grab her and Constance at the same time when they're in the clinic.
Okay, so we'll go to the clinic when Mandakai is checking in for her checkup. Constance is, you know, got her going through the analysis machines, or not in the hub, in the clinic. He says, do you come in on your spider?
Now that the cocooning is reaching the upper body, now it's just like the stiffest princess form riding a giant spider while eating out of a giant vase of honey. It's an awkward sight.
Mandakai and Constance sort of, well, Mandakai sees you first because she's facing the door, and she makes a head movement, and Constance turns to see you. So you're finally coming to check in with me.
Just while gulping down like a huge mouthful of honey, I'll just show her the cocooning.
She drops the instruments that she's holding, and a hand flies up to her mouth. Oh, Maeve. How long has this been going on?
How long has it been going on?
Oh, geez. When did we first talk about the itchy skin? Maybe...
like a week or two or more?
I think it's at least a month.
All right, a month.
I'm sure of nod, so even before... Okay, so... All right. This looks like silk? And she's sort of bending down, and when she pauses and then looks back up to you and then gestures, may I?
Just nodding in between mouthfuls of honey.
Frowns at that as well. Are you having cravings for that?
Always.
So it's not new?
No.
Okay.
I just have access to it now.
Right. And she starts examining your cocooning. While she's doing that, Mandukai is sort of, she's trying not to stare, but not doing a very good job of not staring, because she doesn't do tact. And she's saying, oh boy, that's, okay, maybe that's what Emran was talking about. Does Emran know about this?
I don't think so. Do you mean the cocooning or the spider or the honey?
She gestures at the cocooning.
I don't think so.
No, maybe not then. Well, I mean, I don't know anything about this stuff. I suppose it's a side effect of whatever powers you're manifesting. I was hoping to talk to you a little bit, though.
Go ahead. My mobility is compromised as of late.
Good. You know, I know that she kind of looks down, and she clearly this is a conversation that she's a little bit uncomfortable with, which is unusual for her. She looks back up and she says, I know that you and I have a lot in common, Maeve, and I've seen how angry you are. And I know that the church makes people like us feel wrong, as if we have to make up for something, as if the way we are is a punishment or a challenge to overcome, rather than just who we are. I was so angry too when I was younger, when I was working for the church, when they had all this nonsense about score multipliers and bonus debt. And when I left, I decided I wouldn't play that game anymore. I am who I am, and I'm not a score multiplier. And I see a lot of myself in the anger that you hold. I just worry that you might let it consume you.
I'm not angry. Just really, really annoyed. But not just about that.
I know. You know, it wasn't just about that for me either. But that was part of it, and it didn't help. And everyone thought the same kind of way. I just wanted to let you know that when I walked away from that, it was really liberating for me. It helped me let go of a lot of other things. You don't have a lot of patience for the church, I know. So maybe the way that you were raised and being Lean's student, maybe it wasn't the same feeling for you. At least I hope it wasn't.
I mean, I don't know much about Lean to begin with, or what she plans to do. I wouldn't say so much I got to walk away as had to run away.
That's true.
But at the very least, I get to go back with an army, and I'll point down at the spider.
Yeah, they're impressive.
There's more, you know.
Did you come here to see me?
I did.
Well, sorry, I've jumped the gun. I do that. I'm not a patient woman.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, sorry, I didn't mean to. What did you need?
I've spoken to Hub about it as well, but being that you have experience leading people, as does Karis. And I just found out they have dumb suits that can fly. It may become a necessity sooner rather than later to fortify the hub in some capacity.
Yeah. It'll be a shame to have to do so, but if they find us.
Also, just in general, checking up on your condition. It's weird enough for those of us who got stuck with the two sets of nanites. But with my transfusion, you now have three. And that might get weird. So just letting you know.
Yeah. Constance and Hub were telling me about that. So far, well, it's too early to tell. We're keeping an eye on it. It's part of why I'm here today.
Could you tell me more about the XCOM?
What do you want to know?
I guess first and foremost, what did they hope to do?
There's no unifying philosophy of the XCOM. Each faction has its own aim, and that's, I think, part of why there's never been a whole lot of progress. Some people, generations ago, decades, centuries even, walked away from or escaped or were cast out of the domain, and some of them still live out there beyond the waste, as far as I know, just trying to live. Others, well, you know, the Revel, our goal was to find joy in life, and I only fought if that was threatened. Lean and her Rainbow's Apogee, they're a little bit more radical. I don't know what she's doing now, but it won't be pleasant for whoever's on the receiving end. I know her goal is to find out why, she gestures vaguely, all this is happening. I think I might be at the point where I want to help with that too. But the XCOM is formed by necessity, not necessarily by, you know, revolutionaries. It's just the people who no longer have a place in the domain or can't take that lifestyle anymore.
If you're the champion of Velico, did the other gods have champions as well?
I don't know. I've only ever spoken to Velico, and then only once.
Is Velico like Hub?
No, Velico... Velico spoke to me in a dream. I know that you're a woman of science. That sounds like nonsense, but that's what I remember.
I wonder if there's a champion for Grasham. Because someone's going to need to rebuild down there after I burn the church down.
Maybe it's Emran.
He'd be a great choice.
He loves to build, and he's good with his hands.
You're a bad person, Matt.
He's a blacksmith. What's with you?
You brought it on yourself.
I may have jumped the gun there, Matt. I apologize. I want to rein that back.
No, that's absolutely what she was implying.
Do I catch that?
How dare you gaslight me?
I don't know. Roll your notice.
Oh, gosh, my face is probably so red right now.
Where's my notice?
Yeah, you notice. Definitely. You notice that she's being coy about something and is making a bit of a coy face about it. There's a certain twist to her lips and sparkle in her eyes that you probably recognize.
That's great. Have you also talked to Emran?
She coughs. Yeah, of course. I talk to everybody.
No, I mean, you should talk to him about being angry, too.
Ah, yes. Yeah, I should.
He's a better person than I, and he'd be a great choice to help build stuff afterwards. Because I do aim it to burn it down.
I understand, and I won't stand in your way when you're destroying, dismantling the church that has made so many so miserable for so long. But I don't think you should underestimate yourself like that, Maeve. I think you have the capacity in you to build and create just as well.
I'll keep that in mind.
Plus, I don't want to believe that Lean would choose someone who only sought to destroy and nothing else to carry on her work. It doesn't seem like her. She's very angry too, and with good reason, but she still has hope in her. I think you should remember that hope is important to us too.
I'll try.
Constance stands up from examining your cocoon, and as if she didn't hear any of that, says, "Well, it looks like it's growing out of you."
I'm definitely making it. I noticed that.
Yeah. So, I mean, based on the evidence, it's a cocoon.
Yes. Yes, it is. But I also just wanted you to be aware in the event that, you know, I suddenly don't show up and then there's a big cocoon, so you don't burn it down thinking some giant spider is going to pop out, which a giant spider might still pop out, but just know that it's me.
Okay. If you feel yourself reaching that point, make sure that you come here. We'll put you in one of the isolation rooms, right?
Right, definitely.
Okay. I'm trusting you on this. I know you're a rational person.
That's the nicest thing anyone has said to me.
Oh, I like you.
And also let you know to keep everyone else in line. I tell everyone to come here constantly because of the weird stuff that keeps happening and to fill out logbooks for their symptoms, and they never do.
I've noticed that. It's really frustrating. Okay, well, do you want to check in daily or every couple days? How do you want to do this? You're the one who knows how this has been progressing.
I'll monitor progress, and as anything becomes substantial, I'll check in.
Okay. See if you can... If you're comfortable with it, maybe you can send me the data so far, and we can maybe figure out when this is going to hit, whatever point it's going to hit.
Sure.
Okay. And Constance sort of turns and goes into the back. Not the back area you live in, the other part, the storage.
Oh, by the way, Mandakai, I never got to properly thank you for saving myself and Emrin from that battle. We were totally winning until the sun came up at the oasis.
I mean, if we went back now, maybe things would be different. No more sun, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm counting on it.
Okay, well, you're welcome. And you saved me too. That's just what we have to do, right? We have to help each other.
Right.
Right.
Don't touch my honey, though.
I won't. And she gives you a respectful nod because she knows you don't like touching. And heads out.
All right, I'm done.
Anything else?
Can I have a laser sword?
Someday.
I'm working on it. I'm going to combine this mining laser and ancient weaponry clock and make a laser sword, and everyone will stop laughing at me.
No more. Everyone will forget about the reverse repelling.
But you can fire your laser while you reverse repel.
My God.
All right. Well, if that's everything, then I guess we will bring the session to a close. And until the next time, all the best.
All the best, folks.
Bye-bye.
Space squids.
Space squids.
Space squids.